Southern Humboldt Community Healthcare District, also known as SoHum Health, services a large area comprising most of Southern Humboldt and parts of Northern Mendocino County. Last week, reporting by Lauren Schmidt, both with Redheaded Black Belt and on the KMUD News broadcast, touched on the significant impacts of H.R. 1, also known as the, quote, Big Beautiful Bill, on rural healthcare systems and specifically the Southern Humboldt Community Healthcare District and its Gerald Phelps Community Hospital in Garberville. Some of this reporting raised alarms for local residents who are concerned about losing current healthcare services and the future of the hospital, which has to be replaced by 2030 due to seismic requirements set by the state of California. Before getting into the details of this story, and in the interest of journalistic integrity, I'd like to disclose that my spouse currently works for the Southern Humboldt Community Healthcare District. KMUD News spoke with Southern Humboldt Community Healthcare District CEO Matt Rees and SoHum Health Outreach Manager Chelsea Brown via Zoom today, Monday, July 6th. To learn more about the healthcare district's current financial situation and the feasibility of building the necessary new hospital facility.
Thank you, Matt, for talking with us today. A lot of this interview is about the story we ran on Friday from Lauren Schmidt and just some clarifications on the future of our healthcare district and the hospital here, and especially in terms of funding. I wanted to start off with kind of a longer version of a quote that was in Lauren's piece last week when you were asked during the press conference with Congressman Huffman to talk a little bit about what HR1 has meant for hospitals and clinics in the North Coast and throughout California. And there was one section where you're talking about our hospital specifically, where you had said our hospital was built back in 1961. It's at the end of its useful life, needs to be replaced. And we've designed the new hospital as we were preparing our projections for the USDA Rural Development Loan application. They were looking really good. We're right in the middle of that. And then HR1 passed. And as we redid our projections in the fourth and fifth year, it's not looking good. My plans are into the state. I should get approval from the state sometimes in the next 6 months to go forward and build. And I've got to figure out how to make things work in the fourth and fifth years. Some of these programs that are being cut as much as 35%, and we can't sustain that. What I was looking for clarification on is, you know, can you elaborate a little bit on what it means for the fourth and fifth year projections not looking good? What exactly did you mean by that? And are there any programs that are part of our health district or the hospital specifically that are going to be hard to sustain due to these large-scale federal cuts?
SoHum Health is here to stay. We are working on building the hospital. We have not gone away from that plan. When we redid when HR1 passed, the fourth and fifth year did not show that we would be able to pay the USDA rural development back. Now, since that time, we've been working on a lot of different things, and some of our projections have changed, and some of the cuts are not as bad as we thought they might be, and that we have opened up new services here in the last couple of months, and that we're not cutting back like others. So we just started MRI services a week ago Saturday, and this next Saturday is going to be our second time of doing MRI services. We have other programs that are moving forward. We had to come up with ways where we put up money, the state's money, and draw down the federal money so that we make up a portion of the losses that we're incurring on taking care of Medi-Cal patients. And so we've come up with these creative programs, and the feds know that these are creative programs and they're paying more than their fair share, and the state's not paying their portion. And so they're cutting those programs. So we're putting together a bill to go to this next legislature where the state has to, in this pilot program, pay their fair share. And that knocks out these programs that are being cut 35%.
About, you know, the situations of other clinics, other hospital facilities. You know, you mentioned in that presser that, there's one other clinic here locally. It's an FQHC. And yesterday, they made the announcement they're closing a couple services. And so hospital clinics, everybody is getting hit hard. I, of course, through inference, know that, you know, we're talking about Redwood's rule in that specific case. So are you saying then for that fourth and fifth year projection to look a lot better than it did, say, the day HR1 passed, you have certain things in progress now, but you also still need some other either legislation or other, you know, grant type things to come through to make those projections look good again?
the projections are looking a lot better. We've gotten some better understanding of what cuts are coming down. We also have some of the cuts are coming on programs where we just had an increase. And so one program, we have $1 million increase this year. And so that cut's basically going to take away that $1 million that we gained this year. And we've been really successful in the past with what we had.
Chelsea Brown, Outreach Manager for SoHum Health, also clarified how the health district is diversifying its funding sources and how that diversification is not pulling attention away from building the new hospital.
It's almost kind of made it like we're diversifying. So if we have, you know, a cut in one area, we have these other areas that can kind of insulate us a little bit. And the healthcare district has just been really creative in finding ways to maximize reimbursement, taking on some new services and things that it might seem like we're getting away from focus on the new hospital, but they're actually contributing to our financial stability to be able to afford to pay back that USDA loan we need.
We then asked Southern Humboldt Community Healthcare District CEO Matt Rees to clarify how outpatient services bring in additional income for the district.
It sounds like, based on what you're saying, a lot of this, you know, ability to get the funding you need is coming from expanding outpatient services, essentially, if we're going to, you know, simplify the issue. Would you say that's true? The outpatient services bring a little bit more income?
Yeah. And then there's the $50 billion for rural facilities and that, rural providers. I've got a meeting that I'm working with, getting with Redwoods Rural CEO to say, hey, look, you can't just put in as one provider. Let's go together and put in as two providers for some of these funding programs.
Can you clarify the exact relationship or partnership with Redwoods Rural a little bit? Just because I actually haven't heard of that before, and I'm just interested in what either applications you're doing together or even what kind of sharing of resources the two organizations are doing.
So California has been late in getting their applications out for this $50 billion. The applications just came out last week. The first applications just came out last week. And so Seth and I are going to get together and say, okay, now the applications are out. We know what they're funding. What can we participate in together to bring more money into our community?
SoHum Health Outreach Manager Chelsea Brown clarified that CEO Matt Rees was mentioning funding from the California Rural Health Transformation Program, which is a state-level implementation of the Federal Rural Health Transformation Program. The program's fund was put into H.R. 1 to ease fears from politicians on both sides of the aisle that the so-called Big Beautiful Bill would decimate rural healthcare systems, and it could potentially provide some relief for Southern Humboldt.
And that's the Rural Health Transformation Program is what the name of that $50 billion fund to support rural hospitals that was part of H.R. 1 is being rolled out through this specific grant process.
We then turned the conversation back to the physical restrictions of the current Gerald Phelps Hospital, which will no longer meet California seismic requirements in 2030, and how close the health district is to breaking ground on a new facility.
I'm curious about, because I know California has requirements now that major hospitals have to withstand a major earthquake by 2030, you know, with the current timings and how things are being built. I mean, ideally, of course, the health district would be, you know, building the new hospital at that point, or possibly, you know, very close to starting that process. What does it look like in terms of after that 2030 date? What kind of exemptions can the current facility get to continue operating despite not meeting those standards? What does it look like in the early 2030s period for the current facility, which will likely still be, I would assume, in use at that point?
Basically, there is a law that was passed a couple of years ago that you had to put a letter in for the district hospitals. Basically, certain rural and district hospitals had until 2033 to make the deadline. We didn't turn a letter in. And so we did not get that exemption. So we'll have to go back and say, hey, can you make an exemption for us to turn in a letter so we can have up until 2033 to complete the project? And then In that same bill, they said if for some reason you cannot financially meet the requirements by 2033, then you'll get another extension. So there are some extensions out there to keep the facility open. But right now we're on the 2030 deadline because that was our plan and we're working fully towards it. And that's still our plan, is to get it done by 2030.
So my two questions off of that would be, you know, what is the exact like financial tipping point for the organization in terms of, okay, we have the funds to start and we'll be able to finish with those funds, you know, and how far are you away from that now? And what exactly are you looking to basically add to your coffers in order to get that started? And then the second part I'm curious about, you're essentially saying that, you know, once that process is started, there's pretty good confidence that these extensions get granted, essentially.
I have confidence that the exceptions will get granted and that they don't want to close rural hospitals. They'll make an exception. And that, so that's the last thing that the state or the feds want to do is close rural hospitals. That's why I'm saying that there's going to be a change at the federal level on some of these programs, overturning these programs. There's going to be something that happens here in the next year or two. And as far as the other goes, we're working on making sure that we can get the new hospital done.
There's not really a clear like tipping point exactly, since it's going to end up being such kind of like a patchwork of different funding sources. So it'll depend on if we get, you know, this or that grant that we're pursuing. Our governing board is exploring the possibility of doing a general obligation bond to get some local taxpayers to help with some of the costs. And like Matt mentioned, some of these legislation. So depending on kind of what pieces fall into place, then we'll see kind of adjust the path forward based on that. So it's not a very like clear, exact path forward, I guess I would say at this point. You know, we're thinking about all the possible options.
With massive legislative changes ongoing at the federal and state level, rural healthcare systems are in a rough place. Time will tell if the Southern Humboldt Community Healthcare District strategy of diversified income and services, along with consistent government lobbying, will result in a new hospital being built and long-term financial stability for the district. Reporting for KMUD, I'm April Lewis.